I did seek the Lord about maybe preaching maybe a different message, see if he had something different. And for a minute I started to change my message. And man, Brother Gary just made three or four different statements since we've started the service tonight that just told me I was where God wanted me in the first place. So we'll stay right where we were intending to go. I believe it'd be the Lord's will, Deuteronomy chapter number 2. Please pray for my family back home. I was sad to hear that my son was sick. You don't ever like to hear about your children being sick. But then when mama gets sick, it makes it even worse because she's still got to take care of the kids when I'm away. And not only that, she didn't get to go to church Sunday because she was home with the kids because they were sick. And she's not able to go tonight because she's sick as well. And I got a wife that loves God and she likes to go to church. And I know it hurts her when she has to go a whole week without going to church. Some of y'all look forward to not going to church, but I know my wife loves to be in the house of God, and y'all please pray for her. Pray that the Lord would just encourage her while she's sick during this time. Just touch her body. And it has been a blessing to be here. Hasn't it been good?
Yes,
sir. Amen. I think the Lord still wants to do some stuff. Yes, I don't think he's done working yet, because obviously we're still here. And we're in need of something, but I appreciate the way that the Lord has blessed us even last night with the weather as it was. Some of you were brave enough to venture out, and man, God showed up, and it just reaffirmed in my heart once again that God is not limited to a crowd or circumstances, amen? If we want him bad enough, he'll show up and do something. I'm glad he's that way, and I just appreciate Brother Gary and all y'all allowing me to come again. I've had a good time. And I'm already looking forward to maybe the next time we can get up this way. Y'all have become our friends, and I appreciate that. I go to a lot of churches where I leave, and you can't really say they became your friend. And I've made some friends here this week and last year when we came. Brother Gary, y'all got a good thing going here. And I mean, don't let that go to your head and ruin you, but y'all, the Lord's blessed y'all here. Just make sure he gets all the glory, and you'll be okay. Amen. But I'm just glad the Lord will allow our paths to cross. I can't say I'm just crazy about New England, but I'm glad there's a good church, some good people to come be around up here, amen. Y'all make New England a whole lot better, I can tell you that much. In Deuteronomy chapter number 2, Moses is addressing the children of Israel, and he's just kind of giving a recap about everything that they've been going through since they left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and so they're wandering around in the wilderness. And I want you to look at verse number 1, it says, "Then we turned... We took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward. Command thou the people, saying, Ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth. Because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat of them for money that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." He makes a statement there in verse number 3. This is the Lord talking to Moses as he's leading the children of Israel. He says, "Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward." I want to preach tonight on the next level. Yeah, going to the next level. Good. Lord, I pray you'll bless the reading of your word. And Lord, we do need your touch. I pray you'd help us touch our body, Lord. And then, Lord, we sure need your power. I pray you'd give us the words to say. Help us to say them, Lord, with the right spirit that would be pleasing unto you. And Lord, we just want to be a blessing and a help tonight to these good people, Lord. So Lord, may you get glory to yourself in this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we go through life, Grace, I asked her today or yesterday, I asked her how old she was, and Grace said, "I'm 4 years old." And you know, as you get old, she can't wait till she starts school next year. She can't wait. Gwen here, I'm sure, can't wait till she gets to be in junior high. And then you can't wait for high school. Then you can't wait till you can drive. Then you can't wait. It's 18 and 21. And when do I get to do this? And by the time you're my age, it ain't no, "Well, I'm 28 and a half. Amen. It's just, I'm 28. You know. and it just gets worse from there. But when you're younger, you can't wait to advance to them older ages. You're always looking for the next age, the next step in your life. You play ball at school. You start off as a bench warmer, but eventually you want to advance to where you're in the starting lineup, and you're out there doing, getting all the glory for everything you putting the ball through the hoop or the football through the field go, wanting to go the next level. You start off in the career world, you start off on the bottom level, but you want to advance your way to the top, right? My kid, you know, he likes playing video games, and I'll tell him, you know, Jordan, you got about 5 minutes left, so you better hurry up and play and get that thing turned off. All right, Dad, I'm almost to the next level. Why is it that in the Christian life, we get saved and we're just satisfied where we're at? We get saved and we say, hey, praise God, I'm saved. I don't have to go to hell. But then we say, I guess that's good enough. But not according to God's word, amen. According to God's word, we're to grow, amen. We're to advance in our Christian life. And we got churches tonight all across America and across the world that are full of Christians that are saved and they're on their way to heaven. They're just as saved as I am or Brother Gary. Amen. They're saved, but they're just satisfied just being right where they're at. I'm just saved. Mediocre Christianity. Just the norm, just the average. And then we wonder why America's going the way it's going. We wonder why there's so much sin in our land. We wonder how we get to the place where we're at in politics in America. We wonder it's because Christians won't advance to the next level. He said, you've been here long enough. And yes, I've blessed you here. Yes, I've been good to you here. But now it's time to move on. Amen. I'm not talking about compromise or change. I'm talking about growing closer to God. There comes a time in each of our lives we got to go the next level. Do you realize if the Christian life was a video game, most Christians never would get past pushing the on button? And that's where we're at in Christianity in the United States of America. The next level. How about it? You want to go to the next level? Amen. I'm going to give you some things in a few minutes. It may not be as easy as you think it's going to be, but I can promise you this. It's worth it to obey God and advance in your Christian life. Amen. You talk to any of these old timers that have been saved for a while. Maybe they've been saved 20, 30 years. Maybe some of you have been saved longer than that. I don't know. They'll tell you, though, if they have advanced in their Christian life, no matter what heartache or pain they may have gone through, it was worth it to get to that next level in their relationship with Christ. Let me say in verse number 3 and number 1, the Lord makes a statement. The Lord makes a statement. In verse number 3, He said, you've come past this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Now normally, I'll be honest with you, normally if I'm preaching a revival, Brother Gary, I'd kick off the revival with this message. And I wouldn't normally close it out, but I believe with all my heart, there's some of you this week, the Lord has made some statements in your life, but you haven't committed to go the next level yet. You felt the Lord knocking at your heart and nudging and stirring around there, and you know that you knew that the preacher was, hey man, parking at your door last night. You know the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart, said you needed to do this or you needed to do that. You need to go there. Or you need to give this up and quit that, but you haven't done it yet. You're holding back. I'm telling you, the Lord's making a statement. He's made some statements here this week. Said it's time to move on, but have you done it? Yeah. Have you done it? And it may not even necessarily be this week, but at some point in your Christian life, He's going to make that statement, go to the next level. You know what? I just wonder if they complained with Moses when he said, all right, we got to move on. I just wonder the children of Israel were so known for complaining as we are today. I wonder if Moses said, all right, we got to leave here. The Lord said, turn you northward. I wonder if some of them didn't say, but why? Why, Moses? God's been good to us here. Well, we've seen the blessings of God here. Why would we want to leave? Because God said to. And that's good enough reason right there. Because God said to. Let me tell you why so many Christians don't go to the next level. Y'all got some hills around here. Where I live, we got mountains. The largest mountain east of the Mississippi River is 20 miles from my house. I can see it every day when I drive into town. I live in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's a beautiful place, but You can go up on them mountains and you can stand on one mountaintop and you can look off 20, 30, maybe even further than that, miles, and you can see the next big mountain off in the distance. But now to get to that next mountain, you know what you got to do? Many times you got to go down through that valley and then make a climb back up to that next mountain. How about it tonight, church? Down in the valley with my Savior I would go. Through the dark waters. Huh? How about it? How about it? Would you go if He told you to? See, we hear all this preaching about, boy, we need to draw closer to God. We need to get closer to God and just have a closer walk. But a lot of times, what we don't realize sometimes to get a little closer, it may hurt a little bit. It may be giving up some things you don't want to give up. Maybe some sin in your life that you think you're okay just hanging on to it. Well, I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm doing okay so far. I'm not, you know, the Lord hadn't done nothing to me yet. I haven't been in a car wreck yet. I'm not dead yet. I'm doing okay. I got this wrote down in the back of my Bible. I don't remember who said it. But it says, don't mistake the long suffering of God for the approval of God. Well, I must be doing okay because He ain't done nothing to me yet. It's coming. I would encourage you just to get it out of your life and keep it out of your life. Don't run back to it. Don't be like the dog running back to its yucky old vomit. Amen. Don't go running back to the hog pen. Get the sin out of your life. It may hurt a little bit. It may not be so joyous as you're trying to get the victory over it. But once you're on that next point, that next plateau in your Christian life, you'll rejoice in the fact that you was willing to give it up and be obedient to the commands of God. The Lord makes some statements, but God, I don't want to go through a valley. I don't like them either. I don't like a valley no more than you do. But they're a reality, they're a part of life if you're going to get closer to God. And I'm going to say it once again, we've got too many Christians that have decided, I'm just going to come to church, I'll come on Sunday, I may even come back Wednesday night if it's convenient. I'll serve God and live for God as long as it fits into my little box. As long as I don't have to step out of my comfort zone, that's the average Christianity. That's the average Christian life. We need something more than that if we're going to do something great for God. Your church needs better members than that if you're going to turn this community upside down for the glory of God. Not mediocre, not average. Who'll step up and say, I'll go to the next level? They don't like that valley. And I will say this. I've been to churches. We're going on, I think, 8 years of full-time traveling, Brother Gary. That ain't a long time. You've been in this thing longer than me. I'm not picking at your age or nothing. You've got the gray hair to prove it, amen. You shouldn't say things like that before you get your offering, amen. You'd think I'd have learned that in 8 years. I have been to churches, though, that I used to go to, and they were shouting the victory. Choir would get up and just sing the glory down. The preacher would get up and preach with fire. People get saved. People get help. Good liberty just to worship God. I've been to them. And you go back, something changes. It ain't the same. The choir still sings the same songs. The preacher's still preaching the same message, but no results. No shout. No people getting saved. You say, what happened? My guess would be God said it's time to go to the next level. And they said, we're doing okay. Or how about this one? Oh, we're doing better than the church down the road. We're okay. God didn't say, I want you to run your church according to the standards of the church down the road. He said, judging by the standard of that book, that's the standard. And God holds a pretty high standard. Amen. Hey, He didn't say judge your family by the family back here or over there. He didn't say judge your family by this family. Right. Well, I'm doing better than them. That ain't what God said. Right. He said it's time to go to the next level, and those churches have no more fire, and I have been to some that are now closed. The doors are just shut. Because they said, we're happy where we're at. And you know what happens a lot of times for a church to go to that next level? It may take a little pain. It may take a little heartache to get there. It may even take, amen, some people leaving the church to get a curse off of you. Now, down south, we're notorious for saying, praise God, we just need a backdoor revival. I don't want to have that attitude. You hate to see people go, but let me say, sometimes it has to happen to go on and do something for God. And it hurts, but many times it has to go that way. Now, as a pastor, that's not what he wants to see happen. What he wants to see, instead of you running that way, he wants to see you running this way. And just being obedient to God. That's what we want to do. I have no use for a preacher that brags on how many preachers he runs out the door. I can't stand that mess. Well, I was preaching last night. Now let me say, I have preached and people have left. But it's not something I rejoice in. It hurts. I'd rather see them get some help up here on the altar from God. That's what we want to see. That's what your preacher wants to see. He's not trying to make you mad. Brother Tony Hudson didn't come in here trying to make you mad the last two nights. He's trying to help you. And sometimes the best way you can help some people is to get them good and mad. Yeah. Yeah. Now this isn't the message. I've got a pretty sweet message here. I just got to get down to it. I don't want the valley, God. I feel like I'm doing okay. All right, well, you just stay with that attitude, church. You just stay with that attitude, family. Christian, you just keep that attitude. I'm doing okay. You know what happened? God will take His hand and He'll just lift it off of you. And in your own mind, in your own eyes, you think you're doing okay. I would even go as far to say this. What you were doing that God was blessing and that you were doing in the will of God, when He says it's time to move on and take it to the next level, then what once you were doing in the perfect will of God, you're now doing out of the will of God. Because He said, I want you there. And you're still back there. It may hurt a little bit, and we don't like to hurt. We don't like pain and suffering and heartache. But the preacher mentioned it earlier. Sometimes that's what it takes to get where you need to be for God. And sometimes God uses pain and heartache to get others where they need to be for Him. So the Lord makes a statement. No doubt He's done that this week, and He'll continue to do so. I know you got a preacher that preaches the truth, and at some point, the Lord's going to make these statements in your life, and you better be prepared. It may take a valley to get there. But then number two, the Lord gives a solution. I'm glad the Lord gives a solution, amen. I'm glad He doesn't just make a statement and say, all right, figure it out. All right, Daniel, here's what I want you to do. Figure it out. No, He ain't like that. He may give us a command that just seems impossible to us, but He wouldn't give us if He didn't know that we could do it. And He will go through and help us with it. He'll help us along the way. He gives a solution in verses number 4-6. But I think the best thing He said that He gave them for advice was number 5. He's talking about the children of Esau, and as they're going to be going through this land, getting to the next place they're going. He says in verse number 5, look at it with me, them first 4 words. He says, meddle not with them. Now that's good advice, whether you're on the mountain or you're in the valley. Don't meddle with them. You say who? Whoever's keeping you from serving God like you should be. Whoever's dragging you down. Hey, ladies, whatever lady is getting you by the ear and saying, well, I don't know why Brother Gary has to do that. I don't know why Miss Kathy's like that. I don't know this or that, or I don't know who picks them songs, but I don't understand it. I don't know why the preacher has to preach like that and so loud and so negative all the time. I don't know why he's got to be like, that's the person you don't need to be meddling with. Amen. Because they're going to destroy your walk with God. Meddle not with them. That's the solution. I know you thought I was going to give you some real deep nugget, amen, right there. It's real simple. Separation. So you come to a valley and you're hurting a little bit. And all of a sudden you realize, man, even in the valley and I'm hurting and I don't feel like shouting, I don't feel like singing loud, I don't feel like going to church, but then all of a sudden there's some people that show up and they're just going to try to make it even worse for you. Do you realize many times, listen young people and adults, do you realize though many times it's in the valley when some of the friends that you know you shouldn't be hanging around are going to show up, when you're hurting, when things ain't going just the way you want them to do, all of a sudden some of them friends from school are saying, hey, won't you just come hang out with us, we'll have a good time. But even adults, hey, it's when you're hurting all of a sudden some of your old friends, they rear their ugly head up. Friends you haven't seen for 15 and 20 years, all of a sudden, there they are to encourage you and to be a blessing. Oh, come on, look at you. Here's what they'll say. You've tried the God thing. You've tried the church thing. You've tried religion and you're still hurting. You look at you. Man, this is pathetic. Why don't you just come with us? And we'll drink us a little Jack Daniels and get us a good buzz. We'll smoke a little doobie, amen, and get high. Amen. Just come on us and we'll fix all your problems. Let me tell you the solution and what you need to do. You just hunker down right there, amen. That's a good southern word, ain't it? Hunker down, amen. Get your feet planted and you say, you see that mountain right there? That's where I'm headed. By the good grace of God, I'm going to make the climb, amen. And what's waiting for me up there? Hey, it's better than what's in a bottle. It's a better high than what you can get from any dope, amen. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. The solution is stay away from those that'll try to set you back, that'll try to get you off the right path and onto a wrong path. Stay away from them. Don't meddle with them. I keep wanting to go. I was watching some of y'all young people up here last night when he had you huddle up here. Every time he'd go like that, you flinching. I don't blame you. I do too. Big old hand coming at you. Amen. Don't meddle with them. Especially when you're hurting, especially when you're discouraged, that's when you need to get in the Word of God even more. That's when you need to be down on your knees even more. Don't run away from it. We get these things all backwards. When we're hurting, we shy away from reading the Bible or talking with God. That's when we need to do it even more so. Amen. It ain't time to run from the things of God. It's time to embrace them. Amen. That's the solution. Don't meddle with them. Don't meddle with Hollywood. Don't mess with rock music. Don't mess with the wrong friends. Don't mess with the wrong boyfriend or the wrong girlfriend. Stay away from them and stay on the right path and head on to the next level. Amen. What's waiting up there on that next mountain's a whole lot better than you're going to get out here at a party on Friday night. Amen. What's waiting up there, it's better than what you'll find in the bottom of a beer bottle. So much better than anything this whole stinking world has to offer. So much better. Hallelujah. I'm trying to help you kids here tonight, young people. You ought to say amen. I said, you ought to say, am I going to have to do this? It worked for him. I don't know if it would me. I got pretty big ears. It ought to work. Trying to help your kids tonight. Trying to tell them there's some things they ought to stay away from. Hey, mom and dad, they're going through some things that you know, you're so old now, you don't even remember what it was like. It ain't easy for young people. Now, I'm not going to say it's hard and all that, but it ain't always easy. They are under a lot of peer pressure. Now, I will say peer pressure won't be as much of a problem if you're hanging around the right peers. Amen. But they're going through some things. They're being tempted of the devil. There's a pull there, a desire to try to fit in. We're trying to help them. And it don't help when you tell them that they can have a computer in their room tucked away. It don't help that you say, it's okay that you got a MySpace. It ain't okay. It's out of hell. It's wicked. It's going to destroy their life. Amen. It's crazy. They don't need that mess. It ain't okay. It ain't okay that they're listening to Christian rock music. It's just going to feed their desire to just be all down and depressed. It's not okay to listen to Casting Crowns. Amen. I think that hobby horse has done been rode here a time or two. Not by me, but I might as well ride it while I'm here. It ain't okay. It's destroying our young people. I look back, it was destroying me as a teenager. I wasn't trying to live for God. I didn't want to listen to mom and daddy's music, so I listened to the alternative Christian rock music. And there ain't such a thing as Christian rock. And it's not going to help you, and you're certainly not going to grow in Christ listening to that junk that's straight out of the pits of hell. Amen. Say amen or owe me one. I promise this is going to get sweet. If you'll just hang with me till we get there. There's a good part coming. The Lord gives a solution. He says, don't meddle with them. Don't meddle with them. And I promise you, when you're hurting and discouraged, they're going to show up. And you better make up your mind. Just like Joseph. I guarantee you, old Joseph, when he went into the house there with Potiphar's wife, and here she was, I'm sure she was a beautiful, attractive lady. And she was trying to seduce him. Already he had done made up in his mind, I ain't going to get messed up with this woman. It didn't just happen and him decide, whoop, I better run. He had already made up his mind, this woman's going to be trouble. Joseph, you're just better off not to even meddle with her. Don't meddle with them. The solution. The Lord gives a solution. And for your problem, it may not even always be don't meddle with them, but for the children of Israel, that was the solution to the problem. And at some point, it'll be a solution to your problem. There's some people you better not meddle with.
That's right.
But then my third and last point is really the good part and the glory part. The Lord's given us a statement. He's given us a solution. And then we see in verse number 7 that the Lord supplies. Hallelujah, thank God that He supplies. I'm glad that we've got a God in the midst of an economy that's falling apart. He's still able to meet my every need, amen. He's not worried about it. He's not getting headaches up in heaven wondering, how am I going to take care of Daniel and his family? I'm glad I've got a God that supplies. And even in the valley, when I'm wondering where all my friends are at, when's my help going to show up? He's still supplying for me. He's still right there beside me all the way. What a Savior. What a Jesus. What a friend for sinners. Even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. He supplies. Even in the valley. And I tell you what's so amazing to that is not just that He would go with us in the valley, but can I just be honest with you? We like to talk about how, oh, we're suffering for Jesus. Pray for us. There ain't hardly any food in the house, and there ain't much money in the bank, and the car's broke down, and the kids are sick. And we like to say, boy, God's really testing us. And God does do that. I realize that. I've seen some people that I believe God was just testing them because they had been faithful, and He wanted to see if they would remain faithful. He did that to Job in the Old Testament. And He does it even still today. But can I just be honest with you this morning, or tonight, wherever we are, whatever time of the day it is? Usually when I'm in a valley, Brother Gary, I'm there and it's my own fault. Brother Louie, it's usually because I did something stupid. It's usually because God said go that way and I said, but I think I'd be better off that way. God said do it this way and I said, I think I got a better way. You know what happens? Just like the children of Israel here, He says, all right, we'll give you a little time of wandering. We'll let you wander around a little bit until you appreciate doing things my way and be grateful for it. God's way is always the best way. Even if the world tries to paint a prettier way, God's way is the best way. Even when you're looking at it and you're saying, I don't understand this, it don't matter, His way is still the best way. But even when I'm there, and it's because I've been stupid or made a dumb decision, He's still right there beside me. Now that ought to make every Christian just rejoice in the Lord tonight. That we've got a God, amen, that is long-suffering. He is long-suffering. And that don't mean He's approving of the stupid decision I made, but He is long-suffering, and He's still my friend while I'm there and while I'm hurting. And He's there to help along the way, and He's supplying. Look in verse number 7. It says, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. He said, I know where you're at. I know what's going on. I've ordained all this to happen because you wouldn't do what I told you to do. You're going through this now, but I'm here with you and I'm aware of it and I'm going to guide you. He supplies us with His guidance. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Aren't you glad that we've got guidance? I mean, in these dark days that we are living in, I'm talking about some days when we're just wondering what's going on and we don't understand what's going on. I'm glad that we've got His guidance. I'm glad He hasn't left us. For the children of Israel, it was a cloud by day and a fire by night. But not once did they have to wander around by themselves. They were following Him. They were following the things that He would lead along the way. He gave them some guidance. They were wandering, but they could have wandered in a much worse place, in a much worse way. He'll give you His guidance. Hey, He's given us His Word. Amen. Aren't you glad for His Word? You know what that's for? Guidance. He said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And He'll lead you in the right path. Hey, girls, He'll lead you in the right path. Buddy, He will lead you in a right path if you'll just stay with His Word. And read what it has to say. And obey what it has to say. He'll lead you in the right path. Some of you, you know what it did? You got in this book and it led you to this good church. Hey, about 9 years ago, it led me to the right woman for my life.
Amen.
I didn't even need eHarmony.com to find her either. I didn't need a MySpace or a Facebook to find her. I just trusted God. You know what, Brother Gary, from the time I was 6 years old, I had to have a girlfriend. If I didn't have a girlfriend, I was depressed. I was a depressed six-year-old boy if I didn't have a girlfriend. If I had to go to the birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese without a girl, I was miserable. I'd go kick Chucky in the knee. And could I say that's ridiculous? And I'm going to be honest with you, I believe as preachers we make a mistake when we're going up these little kids. How you doing? How old are you? I'm 6 years old. You got you a boyfriend? Hey, buddy, how old are you? I'm 10. You got you a girlfriend? You know what we just put in their mind? Well, I guess I need a boyfriend or a girlfriend. No, keep playing with your Tonka truck.
Yeah, amen.
Girls, keep playing with your baby dolls. Amen. You got plenty of time. You got plenty of time, amen, to do all that stuff, to wear makeup and all that mess. Amen. Be a kid as long as you can.
Amen.
When I got saved at 19, though, I told God, I said, I'm taking my hands off this thing. I said, God, I've just made a mess of things. I can't even have any friends that are girls because I've gone out with all of them and made them all mad. They don't want to be my friend. You know what happened when I did that? God said, it's about time, and He led me to just the one He had for me. You know what made me have a desire to do that? The Word of God.
Amen.
Getting in the Word of God, and He said, I'll lead you. I'll lead you. Hey, preacher, He'll lead you in the right direction. I believe He's led you here to be a shepherd over these people. God will lead you where He wants you. If you'll just get in His Word. Stay in His Word and He'll lead you in the right path. He'll give you His guidance. And then He's given us the church for guidance. Amen. Amen. He's given us the local church for guidance. Now listen to me. I ain't a Baptist brider, amen. But I'll tell you what I am. I am a local church man. God has given us the local church. And each Christian, amen, has the responsibility to find out where it's the will of God to have you and your family in a local church. And when you get in, you have a responsibility to be faithful to that local church. And to submit to that church and to that preacher. Amen. He's not going to be a dictator. I've sat around and talked with him long enough. He ain't going to beat you over the head all the time with a staff and a rod. He's not going to be a legalist dictator, amen. But He is the pastor. He is the one that God has placed in authority over this church. As long as He's following the authority of this book, you need to be following Him.
Right.
See, your problem is you don't like to submit to authority. You won't do it at the job. You didn't do it in school. And you ain't about to do it in church, are you? You know why so many young people, why so many teenagers can't keep a job for more than a week or two now? They can't submit to a boss. Well, he told me I needed to go do this. Sure he did. He's your boss. He's the one writing out your paycheck. He has a right to. But you know where they get that attitude? You know where they get that lazy attitude from? They get it from mom and dad. Well, I didn't appreciate the preachers preaching that or saying that. We'll just find us another church. Well, I went to the preacher for some counsel, and I didn't like the counsel that he gave me, so we'll go find us another preacher. Maybe he'll tell us what we want to hear. He may tell you what you want to hear, but if it ain't what God wants you to hear, your family's going to be in a mess. They're going to be in shambles, I can tell you that much. God gave us the local church. He gave us pastors, amen, to be a help. Hey, our ministry, my family, we're out of a local church. I'm a proud member of New Manna Baptist Church, Marion, North Carolina, salute. Amen. As an evangelist, I'm not hardly there, Brother Louis. Brother Tom, I'm always traveling. They're having church tonight. I'm up here because this is what God called me to do. But I am still in submission to that church and to my preacher, Tony Shirley. He's the authority in my life. And he's a good one to have. He's there to help me and to guide me. I can call him up and say, hey, preacher, I need some advice. I need some help. And you know what he'll do? He'll lead me in a right way. I'm not that. I know evangelists that just run around the country. Where do you go to church? Well, I'm a member of the Universal Church. Well, I am too as a saved person. I understand that. I understand the body of Christ, the Universal Church, but He also gave us the local church. Amen. But it's those evangelists don't want to submit to a preacher. And that's why when they preach, they ain't got much of a touch of God on them. Amen, because they're not being obedient to God. Amen. Amen. And there's churches. The campus church in Pensacola, Florida, and I ain't trying to be ugly. It ain't a local church. The preacher there signs a contract every 3 years with the man who runs the college. And as long as he goes by that contract and preaches what they want him to and don't preach what they don't want him to, he'll be okay and they'll renew his contract. That ain't a local church. I know. I just ran down a higher institution of Christian learning in the United States of America. But I'm right and they're wrong. Now let me phrase it. The Bible's right, they're wrong. He's given us His guidance if we'll just submit ourselves to it. He gave us His Word and He gave us the church. Don't run from the church when you're hurting. Get in even more. When you're hurting, don't say, well, I'm going to lay out. Say, preacher, give me something to do. The Lord will help you. He's given us His guidance. Let's read on, starting verse number 7 there again. I'm liking verse number 7. It's fixing to get really good, I promise you. I'm fixing to quit being mean and it's going to get sweet. I just feel the Holy Spirit say it. It's time to get sweet. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, and He has, in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Not only did He give him His guidance, He gave him His glorious presence. He said, I'm going to be with you all along the way. And I'm glad He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'm glad He's with us. Even when family deserts us and friends forsake us, people turn their back on you and you're wondering, what in the world's going on? Where did everybody go? God's still there. And if you'll just get still long enough and get quiet long enough, you'll feel His presence. I like the presence of God when we're on the mountain, but it's sure nice when He's there in the valley. I like the presence of God. I like the Holy Ghost. He's a comforter like no other. You know what's going to help this family more than anything? It'll be a blessing, Brother Gary, when you walk by that family and shake their hand and tell them you love them and pray for them. And when y'all walk by and tell them you've been praying, that's going to be a blessing to them. But I'm going to tell you, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to be a comforter to them like nothing else. Amen. And when tragedy comes in your life, and I pray that it don't, but when something doesn't go the way you think it should, He'll be the one that'll be there to comfort you. His glorious presence. Guiding, leading, and just being a comfort and a friend all along the way while we're trying to get to that next level. He's given us His glorious presence. Let me say this, and I'm almost done, but let me say this. Don't take for granted or be unthankful. No, don't take for granted the presence of God. Especially in New England. It's a rare thing. Don't take that for granted. But you know what you will be when you do? Just another church. Just another church that believes the book. And it's an important thing to believe the book. But if He ain't showing up, I could take you to King James and He's been to them. I could take you to King James Bible-believing Baptist churches all across the country that believe the book just as strongly as you do, but they're dead as a doornail. Don't take it for granted when he shows up. And when he shows up, get all of it you can. I spent 18 years growing up in a church where we had the truth, we had standards, we had the right music. We had everything that was right. But there wasn't no presence of God. I'm going to tell you something. When he passes by, I don't want him to just pass by my seat. I want him to stop and linger a while. His glorious presence. Verse number 7 again. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Say these last four words with me out loud. Thou hast lacked nothing. Say it again. Thou hast lacked nothing. Now this time I want you to say it, and I want you to really think about the fact that you ain't lacked anything. Amen. Let's say it again. Thou hast lacked nothing. Now I know we're Baptists here tonight. This is a Baptist church. But could I just get a good witness, amen, of somebody who would say, I ain't lacked a thing. Everything I've ever needed, God has supplied, amen. Every time I've needed Him, He's been right there. Every time I felt alone and I was hurting, He would show up to say, I still love you. I care about you. I'm with you. I'll be the best friend you've ever had. Hallelujah. Thou hast lacked nothing. Praise God. The Muslim can't say that tonight. The Buddhist can't say that. But I'm glad tonight I can tell you with all assurance, I ain't lacked anything. There's things I've wanted that I may not have, and it's because God didn't see fit to give it to them. But everything I've ever needed, He's given me. I've got a family that's homesick tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. God's going to take care of us. He's going to meet our needs. There's bills at times that start to pile up, and I'm just wondering, God's where's the financial help going to come from? And He just says, just keep trusting me. I'm going to take care of you. You ain't lacked nothing yet, and I ain't about to bail out on you now. Amen? Well, I'm glad. Hey, I don't need a bailout tonight. I've got Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God right there. I've got Jesus, and that's enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. He takes care of His children. I said He'd take care of His children. When all them plagues were going on in the land of Egypt, when Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go, when all them plagues were going on, listen, when them Egyptians' houses were full of frogs, and they couldn't even sleep at night because of the frogs. I guarantee you the children of Israel were over there in their houses sleeping just as good as ever. When they didn't have water because it had turned to blood, they had water in their house. Where'd they get it from? I don't know, but they had it. When they were plagued with darkness over there in the children of Israel's house, I believe there was light. And I'm going to tell you, in some dark days, when I believe God is judging this land because we've left Him, we forgot about Him, He's still going to take care of His people. Amen. He's going to take care of us, Brother Louie. Say, how? I don't know. I'm not going to act like I got all the answers, but I know this. According to His Word, He's going to take care of us. It doesn't mean we may suffer a little bit, we may hurt a little bit, but ultimately, He's going to take care of us. And it could just be by getting us out of here real soon. And that'd be just fine with me. But until He does, I'm going to have them good gifts. Thou hast lacked nothing. He's given us His guidance and His glorious presence and His good gifts. I like the gifts of God. The Bible said every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. And we just celebrated Christmas here a month or so ago, and not anybody in here got a better gift than what Jesus Christ has to offer. Amen. Salvation, eternal security. Hey, how about that long suffering? Some of you better thank God for the long suffering of Jesus. Because you've used up a whole bunch of it. And I've used up my share. Them some good gifts right there. And through the valley, He's given us these gifts. A wonderful family. Boy, I love my family. God's given me a good one. I know I say it every time I come, but hopefully one day I can get them up here. I told Brother Gary, though, as long as there's snow on the ground, I'm coming by plane or ain't coming at all. Amen. I ain't driving in this mess. I ain't as brave as y'all. But you know what? When I find a good watering hole, I like to get my family in on it. But not only that, I just like having my family with me because I love them. They're a blessing. You say, people say, Brother Daniel, you sure are traveling a lot, and the Lord's using you, and blah, blah, blah. I got a good family. They're a blessing. They're a help to me. Just knowing that they pray for me. I called my mom last night, and I didn't have to tell her where I was or what church I was at. She said, boy, it snowed. First thing she said, y'all got a bunch of snow up there in Rhode Island, don't you? I was like, yeah. You know why? I ain't talked to her in 3 weeks. You know why? She's praying for me. She knows where I'm at. She knows where her boy's at and what he's doing. Every once in a while, I just feel a little unction. I'm preaching and trying to do my best, and all of a sudden, I just feel a little unction to, woo, get with it. You know what that is? Probably my good wife praying for me, or my mama praying for me. Or it's just some preacher out of random that just praying for me across the country. That's the gifts of God. Those little things that seem little, but you take them away, all of a sudden they'd seem really big. We sing them songs, I just want to thank you for my food and thank you for my clothes. Thank you for shoes on my feet. Oh, that's just simple little stuff. You take all that away and we'll find out how simple it was. And the Lord has given us all these things that I just mentioned to get us to that next level. I said all that to say He's going to call us to grow in our life. And it may even hurt to get there a little bit, but He's given us plenty of tools to get us there if we'll just avail ourselves to them. I get one channel at my house. I don't got cable. You say, you're spiritual. It ain't because I'm spiritual. I just can't afford it. I get one channel. It's PBS. I hate PBS. Most liberal station, I mean, goodness. All the cartoons are promoting secular ideas, and my kids like Curious George and all that, and they like it. I hate PBS. I bought me one of them digital converter boxes you got to have. Y'all got that going on up here. You know they're going to shut the thing off in February sometime this month. You got to have one. I bought one. I thought, man, I may get ABC or NBC now. You know what I got? I got six channels now. And they're all PBS. They're just from different states surrounding me. Keep laughing. The economy keeps going the way it's going. You ain't going to be able to afford your cable either. You know what you'll be watching? PBS. I sat down one Saturday morning. We was at home, and the kids had been watching some cartoons. The cartoons went off, and I went and sat down with my bowl of Fruity Pebbles. Miss Kathy, I like Fruity Pebbles. It's good stuff, nutritious. Y'all pray for Miss Kathy. She's mean. She comes to church and acts like she's a sweet, meek, quiet, godly one. She's mean. I'm kidding. She reminds me of my mama. She picks on me, but she's a sweet lady. I mean that. But I was eating my Fruity Pebbles, sitting there in my pajamas, and there's a good mental picture right there, huh? I'm sitting here eating, and all of a sudden this show comes on called The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross. How many of y'all know who Bob Ross is? Yeah, a few of you know the old leftover hippie with the big afro. He doesn't realize that we ain't in the 70s anymore and disco fever's over. And you know, he'll sit there and paint, and in a real soft voice, he'll say, now you put whatever, I'm going to put this, but you paint whatever you want to there. It's your world. You do whatever you want to with it. You know, that's Bob Ross. Some of you, the light just clicked on. Oh, that guy, yeah, Afro Man. I'm watching him one morning, and he starts painting, and I've seen him before but never paid any attention. But this day it caught my attention because in the first 5 minutes that I watched him, in 5 minutes he had painted a beautiful background for this picture he was going to work on. I mean, he took this blank canvas and painted a beautiful background. And I'm thinking, goodness, that guy is talented. He may have an afro, but he's talented. And I was impressed. And he starts working on this picture. He's drawing on this canvas. And he's got my attention now. And as it's getting prettier and prettier and looking real good, things are starting to make sense about you. You're starting to get an idea of what he's painting. All of a sudden, he gets a big glob of paint on his brush and just whoosh in the middle of that paint and just puts a big ugly mark. And I about spilt my cereal because I'm thinking, what did this cat just do? I mean, this guy just ruined this painting. What is he doing? He had a beautiful thing going and he ruined it. Yeah, talented my foot. But you know what he did over the next 15, 20 minutes? He took that ugly mark, what I thought was ugly, and he worked all around it and painted all around it. This big ugly gash that I about had a heart attack over. He worked on it. What I thought was so ugly, Brother Tom, it ended up becoming the very centerpiece of the whole picture. The main ingredient of the portrait or the picture. And I thought as I sat there, pajamas and fruity pebbles and all, I had a spiritual thought. How many times are we just walking along, Brother Gary, and everything going just the way we want it to? Bills are paid, the kids are healthy, car's running, we're happy. And all of a sudden, in the midst of our perfect world, we say, God, what are you doing? God, everything was just fine. Why are you doing this to me? What did I do to upset you? Why is this going on? You know what God says? You know what the Holy Spirit tells you when you do that? I know I'm not the only one that's ever questioned God. We shouldn't. There's no reason to, but we do. You know what the Holy Spirit will come back and say? Just let me keep painting and working on it. And what we thought was meant for bad, what we thought was going to end up being the worst thing we could imagine in our life, God ends up taking, and that becomes the very thing or the very testimony that people see when they look at us. When other people see our life and they just see that we let God keep working on us. We didn't throw the painting away, the canvas away. We just let God keep working. And it comes out to be a great testimony. You know what, I've even seen old Bob Ross. I've seen him actually make a mistake. And he'll say, whoops. But like it's no big deal, just whoops, messed up there. And I thought, ha ha, it's only 5 after 10. What are you going to do for the other 25 minutes, Bob? You just ruin it. He just says, watch this. And he works around that, and the painting becomes even better than what it was going to be because of the mistake. And then I think Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. All things, even the things that we don't like, but even the mistakes that we make. So you mess up. Mom and Dad has to ground you. Well, that's it. I can't serve God. Don't get that attitude. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I repent of what I did. You know what God will do? Okay, let's work on that mistake. So you've made a mistake of your life. So far, you've flushed it down the drain. I'm telling you, God can take your mistakes and do something great with them if you'll let Him. Well, maybe I just need to get saved. It may be that, but then again, it just may be that you need to just surrender it all and say, God, here it is, and let Him work on your mistakes and He'll do something great with your life. Look, Brother Spurgeon comes through here. You know what Brother Spurgeon was doing? Making mistakes all along the way. And God's worked on him, and now he's a testimony of the grace of God. He can do the same with any one of you sitting here tonight. He can take your mistakes and make something great out of them. And once again, he's given us all these things to get us to that next level. Now, go ahead and stand. Brother Matt's going to come. Just play something softly on the piano. Have Thine Own Way. If you know that one, that'd be a good one. Just play softly. Now, here's the invitation. Church, you can be one of those churches that Brother Gary was just talking about earlier tonight. And it could be that I couldn't come back to this church because I wouldn't want to because ain't no life to it if you don't go to the next level. It could even be that there ain't a church to come back to. God forbid. Well, we're doing pretty good. We got a good preacher, and I believe that. We got a good congregation. I believe that. But even the best churches, there's a next level. And then after that, there's another level. That's the Christian life, a life of constant growth. Some of you need to get your families on the altar tonight and say, God, it's time to take our family to the next level. Some of you, the Lord's dealing with you right now, or He's dealt with you throughout this week, or in the past when Brother Gary was preaching, He dealt with you. And you know in your life, you need to take it to the next level. May hurt a little bit, but I can promise you, it'll be worth it when you get there, and all of a sudden, there's those blessings again. There's the power of God again. And He's not going to leave you, don't worry. He said He'd never leave you, and He'd never forsake you, and He ain't about to. Now, the altar's open tonight. You know what you need to do. Maybe the Lord, maybe He hadn't made one of them statements. Maybe you just want to come and say, God, when you do, here I am. I'll go. I'll go to the next level. How about it tonight? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. How about you? When's the last time you went up a new height? Or are you just going to stay a baby Christian the rest of your life? Some of you, you've been crawling long enough, it's time to get up and walk. Some of you, it's time to run. Whatever God's dealing with you about, the altar's open. We ain't in no hurry. We ain't in a hurry. Do business with God tonight. Don't get in a hurry. We got plenty of time. What's going on here tonight is more important than anything on TV. It's more important than watching a ball game or a sitcom. Now, I realize homework and education is important, but this is more important than that. How about that next level? How about that MySpace that you don't want to give up because all your friends got a MySpace and you'll be the oddball if you get rid of it? Praise God, be an oddball for Jesus. Because you keep hanging out with that worldly carnal bunch, you're going to be an oddball for the world. Be a trophy of the grace of God, not a trophy of Satan. Some of you got some music in your car and at your house, and it's killing you, it's killing your relationship with God. Won't you get it out of your life? God's got something so much better. Some of you ain't moved all week. Time to move. Time to deal. That's what revival is. It's not a spectator sport. Lord, bless these that are on the altar here tonight. God, we just want You to have Your will and way. I can't talk them into giving up sin. If I did, they'd go right back to it. Lord, if You're dealing with them, I pray they'll be obedient to Your Holy Spirit as You're dealing with them. Lord, help them to get rid of their pride, Lord. Some of them are sitting in their seat right now. They know they need to be on the altar. Lord, help them to get down here and just get honest with You. Lord, some of them are down here doing business. I pray You help them. Some of them get some sin out of their life. I pray You help them, Lord, to keep it out. Lord, bless this church. They sure been a friend to me. They've been a help to me, and that's all we want to be to them. We just want to be a friend to them and a help. Lord, please bless. I pray that this will be a church that until You come, Lord, it'll always be an open door where we can come and just, Lord, just worship You. And maybe we just be a help to each other. Thank You for friendship along the way. It sure is wonderful. And only You could do that. Only You could put a little southern boy from Arkansas in contact with a preacher from New England. That's just how big of a God You are. Oh, I love You tonight, Lord. You sure been good to me. So wonderful and holy. Holy, holy, holy. Help us to be a holy people. Lord, we love You in Jesus' name. Come on, preacher. Take your time. Take your time.
Your time, folks. There's no rush. You're even earlier than last night. The Lord spoke to you this week. Now it's time to put it all together. Every element. It's time to, really, that's what revival is about. Think about it. It is going to the next level. Sometimes it's taking you from where you've been all along and just making an advancement. Sometimes it's we've backslid a bit and we need to go forward from there. So it's always going to the next level. And no matter where we're at, there is another level. Amen? Jacob saw, he saw the angel of the Lord. He saw this ladder going in there, people coming and going. Folks, that's what it's all about. We're all on spiritual ladders. And sometimes we're going up and we see some brothers and sisters coming down. We need to encourage each other to keep going up. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. It's an advancement. It's a moving forward. We need to be mindful of that, folks. Have you made any advancements? Are you striving to? That's really, I know that the Christian life is a process. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, all things are of God, and he's doing that if you let him. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. You, me, we're the clay. We're the clay. Mold me and shape me after thy will. We sing the song, but sometimes I wonder whether or not we seriously mean it. It's like, Lord, don't mold me. Don't shape me. Mold and shape my life. Mold and shape a life that I will approve of. That's not what God wants to do. Why, we ought to be able to be shaped spiritually to adapt to and be content with any life that God puts us through. And there's some folks here, individuals, families that have seen some things, seen some valleys. But you know, if you keep on going, you come out. I mean, think about it, folks. Even if you get lost, I'm not saying lose your salvation. I'm saying lose your way down in the valley somewhere. Just keep on going. You'll come out. You'll come out. I trust you've been encouraged this week. And there's been certainly a number of things that have been pinpointed in our lives. I've been encouraged. There's a part of me that just, I want to bust. I don't know what it is. I want to climb on top of the pulpit. So I don't know what I'd do once I get up there, but I'd be afraid to fall off. The next level. I'm going to opt for the next spiritual level. Amen. I'm higher ground spiritually. Well, folks, I'm encouraged. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I want to be the best preacher I can be. I'm not talking about dazzle the world, get the invitation to preach the sermon. I'm not talking about, but to be the best pastor, if you will, the best preacher, the best friend that I can be to you. You know, Paul said, if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth, And sometimes I have to tell you things that I don't want to tell you. You don't want me to tell you. But for your benefit, for your sake, I have to tell you. And if I care about you, that's what I will do. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I will do.
That's what he's supposed to do.
Man, it would be so easy to just smile at everyone and just let them do their own thing and not even care. But ultimately, that will cost you. That will cost you. You can get by that way for a little while, but eventually it'll haunt you. It'll rise up and bite you. It'll bite me. It'll bite this church. I owe it to all of you collectively to watch out for anything, for any wolf, for any leaven, for anything that might hurt the body of Christ here. And I would rather side on the side of caution and nip something in the bud and it turn out not to be anything than to let it go and all of a sudden find out it's so far gone now, we can't fix it. And so pray for me. Pray for your preacher. I'm so blessed. I really am. I'm beside myself when I look at, I'm not trying to say you're the finest people in all of America. I don't need to stroke you that way, but I love you and I care about you, and I'll go this far. You're not the worst. Amen. Amen. And some of you come a long way. And I'm mindful of it, and I rejoice, and I thank God for it. For many of you. And I know we've seen some fall by the wayside. We've seen some get mad, but that's the way it's going to be in a Bible-believing church. But I've seen many of you grow. I've seen many of you get faithful. I've seen lives change. We're watching young people grow up. Some of them are almost at the point where they're going to be turned, the apron strings are going to get cut. And we'll see what happens from there. Some may go. Some might. I don't know. But we've seen some stick around. We've got some young folk that are here, loving God, serving God. That's success. We got some old, we've got, and I commented on this not that long ago, and remember we did this, I think it was on a Sunday night, where we went through the generations. We have generations, none missing, in every decade from 80s down to infants. And we had selective testimonies from folks that were in less than 10 and 10 to 20 and 20 to 30 and 30 to 40 and 40 to 50 and 50 to 60 and 60 to 70 and 70 to 80. Man, do you realize what a testimony that is? Most church are a bunch of old people sitting over here or a bunch of young hoodlums just living it up like a bunch of hellions. And if any differences in ages come together, they segregate from one another. We've got a beautiful family here, and that's to your credit and the grace of God. And we've had some good years, but as we all know, with liberty comes responsibility. And God is preparing us day after day after day to bring us to a point in our lives where we will be able to handle the stresses that come into our lives when the attacks come. And we thank God for the smooth road. But when the bump comes, then we all help one another through the rough times. That's what we do. And this week we've heard again We always have good preaching when we have revivals. And I believe that people take it, and I think that that helps us, as Brother Daniel so aptly preached tonight, to bring us to the next level, and people are growing. That's success, folks. That's success. It's not bigger buildings. It's not greater ministry. It's, you know, now, things like that may happen, but that is not what we nor God gauges success in. When you and I get closer to Him, when we love one another more, when we care more about sinners, then we're doing something. And I love you all, and I appreciate you, and I can't believe how good God has been to this preacher. Amen. And to our church. And by the grace of God, we'll keep on going.
Amen.
Amen. We'll keep on going, and we'll go to the next level.
Amen.
Now, tomorrow morning, Brother Daniel is going to head on out, as has been mentioned, and you're aware of. Continue to pray for his wife and his son. Neither one feeling well, and pray for them. Pray for meetings for Brother Daniel, and pray for his voice. You know, the problem, if I could use that word, the problem that he has, most of the guys that are out there, they preach or they sing. He does both. So that's a double strain on his voice. And since to a preacher or a singer, that's the instrument. I mean, you take this, but the instrument is this. And he needs a strong voice. And he's a good preacher, and he's a good singer. And we love him. We appreciate the fact that maybe I'm a little more inclined. I appreciate your tolerance with my tolerance, not tolerance, but my love for the more Southern style. Yeah, I think it perhaps has grown more. I have to tell you that I'm not putting down the brethren from the North, but there tends to be a little more high religion in the North. And there seems to be a little more, we'll say, emotion, a little more love, a little more exuberance in the South. And I'm not trying to make us be something. But I'm not going to say, well, you know, you can't do those things. You can't shout. You can't do those things because we're Northerners. Well, if we look like a bunch of Southerners, and they can't tell the difference, we may talk a little different, but we ought to worship God. And we, in fact, do appreciate the kindred spirit that we have with Southern brethren. And you know, we're not going to hold that against him because he's from North Carolina. You know, we'll love him anyway.
That's right.
And he's always welcome here, brother.
Amen.
And the next time, maybe we can work it out to where you can come at another time of year. Yes. Maybe come in the fall when it. Well, you have that in North Carolina too. You have the season and the beauty and all. But pick another time where, you know, where there's no snow. You know? But I've been throwing snowballs at him all week. But it would be nice if maybe he could bring his family.
Yes, sir.
We always like to, because then we really figure out who he is. You know, we get the other side of the story. We can press the wife and kids to get the rest of the story. Anyway, thank you all for your attendance throughout the course of this week. It matters whether or not you come all the time. If you come to all of it, then there's really no reason why you can't get it. And if you miss, then it's like, well, oh man, I should have been here last night. And there's no excuse when you get it all. Amen? And you got it all, and now it's just time to apply it. And so let's take what we've heard, be thankful for it, pray, thank God. Thank God tonight before you pillow your head. Thank God for Brother Tony. for Brother Daniel and their willingness to come be a help to us. I believe some of you got some help. I got some help. And so thank God for that. Again, pray for the Kuhn family. And we will support them and pray for them. And pray for Brother Daniel as he goes home tomorrow. I believe there's still some CDs on the table. If you didn't avail yourself to that and you might be so inclined, it's good music. You'll love it. You'll appreciate it. Pick some of that up before you leave. Drive carefully. It's not as bad as it was last night. Drive carefully. Have a good week. If you can make some of the meetings, either Friday night or Saturday in Connecticut, I'm sure they would appreciate that as well. But other than that, we'll see you back on Sunday morning. All fired up. Next level. Ready to go. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what's been done this week. Help us to take it now, apply it, use it for your honor and glory, and for the benefit of ourselves, our brothers and sisters, and our communities. And may they see Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. Have a good night.